Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Well, good morning, everybody, or if you're in the Eastern time zone, good afternoon. You're listening to American Family Radio, AFR.net, on the internet, AFR.net. This program is called Today's Issues. We're here every Monday through Friday. I'm Tim with Ed Walker, and we want to welcome Steve Jordahl. Steve, good morning to you.
Good morning.
How are you doing?
It's
you voted,
good day.
You voted already?
No, I have some hours this afternoon because I'm going to be here late, so I'm going when I get off of after the program here and
okay, wonderful.
Yeah.
People are voting all over America today. Every House of Representatives race is up every 2 years.
Yep.
So that's how we work here in our country since its founding. And then the Senate has 100 members, so every 2 years, one-third of the Senate races are up. So
plus a couple because of retirements, special elections, like true, here in Mississippi. Mm-hmm.
True that. All right. So a lot to we invite you to join us this evening here on American Family Radio. Steve, what do you got, my friend?
Well, let me start out here with our friend Steve King from Iowa, the representative who's, as he is a representative, he's up for election. He was overheard by a reporter saying this about the courts, saying after the election, maybe we'll have a 7-2 court, thinking that President Trump is going to have some more appointments. And then he said, maybe we'll get lucky and Kagan and Sotomayor will elope to Cuba.
Who said this?
Steve King. And he came and tweeted out this morning.
Are both of those Supreme Court justices lesbians?
I don't know. I don't know that Steve King knows. Okay. I just think that.
Well, I had to ask that because if they elope, obviously, you know.
I just thought that was a little humorous.
So he's hoping for a 9-0 conservative margin.
Yeah, that's not going to happen. But Steve King's never,
I got an
never
idea,
shy
though.
For a quote.
I got an idea.
Yeah.
I told Ed and Walker this. I think if the Republicans maintain the House of Representatives when it's all said and done tonight, that Barbara Streisand and company can lead a caravan to Honduras.
Oh, there you go.
A reverse caravan.
I think they're going to go to Venezuela, where it's socialist,
well,
where they
you
like
you can
it.
Go on, but you got to go through Honduras
to get to
Venezuela. So, you know, I
yeah,
just
because think, Barbara Streisand's going to drive in a caravan with all the great unwashed masses.
Yeah. Well, she complains. She says she's going to Canada, but of course they say this. They said this 2 years ago. All these celebrities did. If Donald Trump wins, I'm moving to France or Spain or wherever. Of course, they never say Saudi Arabia, but anyway.
Exactly right.
They're going to move to Canada, but then Miley Cyrus and them, then they never do because they're just blowhards.
Yes,
you know they love living in this country.
Right.
Even if Hitler's in the White House.
According to them, yeah.
According to them.
Yeah.
According to them, yeah. That's basically what we have going on here.
Yeah.
So, anyway, Steve King said maybe we'll get lucky and Kagan and Sotomayor will elope to Cuba. Now, if that was said on Saturday Night Live about two conservative justices on the Supreme Court, it would be video clips and go viral.
Right.
Or something like that. But we'll see. Now, Steve King's not one to back down or to apologize a lot for something he shouldn't have to apologize for, just for something funny, but we'll see.
Yeah.
On that. What else you got, Steve?
Let's talk political ads for a second.
Okay.
Because we hadn't had enough of that.
Well, let's get it out of our system for once and for all. You remember the ad that was played? It was really an ad about immigration, and it was this is what's going to happen if you elect.
I never saw it. I just saw a clip of it.
Well, let me just play a little bit of this cut seven.
Yeah, what is this? This is an ad.
This is an ad that was
run by who?
It was run by the Republican Congressional Committee.
Okay.
And it was saying, if you vote Democrat, you're going to get more of this. And it's a little hard to hear because it's courtroom stuff from a far way away. But this, you remember the illegal immigrant who was arrested after murdering several policemen?
Mm-hmm.
And in court, he laughed and said his only regret was that he didn't kill more of them. That's part of this. And then the ad goes on to show people swarming the gates of the United States. And then, which I cut out because there's no audio really with that except for the sound of crowd. And then there's this news report from the caravan of one of the immigrants in the caravan that wants in. This is part of the ad that now Fox and CNN and NBC have decided they're not going to run anymore because they think this is racist.
Gentlemen of the jury, please step out of the hallway.
This is so regret. I'll break up soon and I'll kill more. See, the only thing that regret is I'm still too. I wish I could kill more of those people. Kill more cops soon.
Pedir un perdón.
He says he wants to apply for pardon for the felony he committed.
That.
Attempt of murder.
He was
that was hard to hear.
It was hard to hear. We won't play it again. But the first one was this gentleman who's saying this convict now, or this illegal immigrant accused of murdering police
officers.
What's
the point?
They think that's a racist ad.
No. What's the point? What's the point of the people who put the ad out?
That if you elect Democrats, you're going to get more of this. You're going to get more
open borders.
Open borders. You're going to get people coming up from the caravan. They're not all good people that are just poor. There's
you know
this,
what? Okay. Can we? We may differ on this in this room. I think it's wrong. I think it's a mistake on the part of Republicans or those who want border control and stop this mass illegal immigration into our country to focus on the focus. If we're going to talk about this caravan or these caravans coming in here, to focus on bad elements that might be inside it, such as criminals like this man who killed cops and was happy about it. That's not the point. And if you start focusing on that,
mm-hmm.
You're going to devolve into, oh, yeah, how many bad ones are there in there? You know, how many crimes, how many MS-13s are there in there? How many, you know what I'm saying?
Yes.
That's not the point. The point is it's an illegal entry into the country. I don't care if they're Mother Teresa.
Hmm.
Okay, so you start getting into how many bad players are in this caravan. Okay, then what are you saying? If we weed them out, then everybody else can come?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
That's what the other side's going to shoot back at you with. Right. And what do you go then? Well, no, that isn't what we're saying. Then why are you pointing it out in the first place? It's an
Well, you should always, you know, I've mentioned before that I was on, you know, high school debate team 4 years, college 3 years.
Mm, brag.
And won numerous awards, you know. And so
here we go.
Was second in the state in New Hampshire. And
yes,
well, I wouldn't have started bragging until you made fun of me. So
I just want you to know I started on the 8th grade basketball team. So take that.
So I have nothing to brag about from
here's
my
the point
childhood.
I was trying to make is that in debate, you don't make an argument unless you can answer the other team's response. So you don't leave yourself open for a knockout blow. So mm-hmm. that's why I always think about it. And I agree with you, Tim. If you make this argument that you have bad elements in it, your point was one of the arguments you can make. Well, how many are there?
Mm-hmm.
What I was thinking as you were explaining your position is, if I'm the other side, I show video after video after video of poor little little Honduran women with their children in tow.
Right.
And then that's going to trump, no pun intended, that's going to trump the argument I'm making. Everyone's going to be going, come on, man. That person doesn't look dangerous. So you don't make arguments unless you can answer the response. If you can't answer the response, you don't make the argument.
Right.
Yeah.
I think it
is true. One thing, Walker, it is true that we have a problem in this country with illegal aliens or illegal immigrants who are here committing crimes.
Right.
That's a real problem in our country, violent crimes even, mm-hmm. and what to do about that.
Yeah, I think this problem we're talking about here on kind of approaching your arguments is the Republicans, in large part for years, have been on defensive. And they really let the Democrats gain a couple yards before they even, you know, get in the game, so to speak. So, but to this point, and to what y'all are talking about, it's all illegal immigration is wrong, but what the Republicans are bad at is going on offensive. So what happens is the Democrats, they start the narrative and they say, well, most of the people are good. We have there are many people in these caravans who are peace loving, law abiding.
That's true.
You know, they're going to contribute to society.
Well, I say peace loving, yeah.
Yeah, and so, but the Democrats start with that talking point, which then Republicans have to come back and go, no, there's MS-13 in these groups.
Right.
When Republicans should say it doesn't matter whether right. it's Mother Teresa, it's illegal border crossing.
Right.
Right.
I would add that it really doesn't matter what the Republicans start with, because the media is going to pick up what the Democrats start with. It's going to be appear like, because this commercial is the Republicans going on the offensive.
Yeah.
And it might be the wrong tactic, as you guys are saying. I'm not arguing that it's
right.
correct, but they are on the offensive. And then the Democrats made it about that being a racist ad. And now all the media says, in fact, the headline from CNN is NBC and Fox finally stopped running Trump's racist ad.
Yeah.
First of all, it wasn't President Trump's. It wasn't racist, really. It was the you're stating facts, maybe not the best political message, but it wasn't racist. And the word finally, as if, the, you know.
Was that a news? That was a news story?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
That's what we were talking about last segment. The news media is all in. That is a manipulation. They are entering the political landscape.
Fake news.
Fake news.
Enemy of the people.
This is what we're talking about. This is supposed to be a news story. Mm-hmm. This headline is atrocious.
Mm-hmm.
NBC and Fox finally stopped running Trump's racist ad after it was viewed by millions.
That's an op-ed.
That is manipulating the news to try to drive Democrats to the polls. That's not the job of the media.
This is CNN, and this would be what President Trump would call fake news.
To defend the Republican National Committee, I think it is important to note that we have many criminals, MS-13, and murderers coming into our country on multiple occasions, but that shouldn't be the basis of your policy position.
Right.
I'm not arguing
that. The policy position
yeah.
is that we need to stop all illegal entry, both criminals and, quote, non-criminals.
Let me get your take on this ad. This is the last political ad I play, I'll promise. You were talking last hour, I think you were talking about the Mark Harris race in North Carolina.
Yes.
And Dan McCready.
He's the preacher.
He's the preacher, and Dan McCready is running this ad that has it. It only uses Pastor Mark Harris's words from his sermon.
This is what you're saying. This is his Democratic opponent,
right,
in a House of Representatives race.
Yes, for an open seat.
Is playing a cut of a sermon from his opponent, Mark Harris,
several
Republican.
Cut together. Now there's only his words. So let me paint the picture of what you would see if you were watching this on TV. A mom and a daughter are standing together holding hands in front of a bank of TVs in a department store window. The camera, as we hear these words, the camera slowly zooms in on the little girl's face. She's just sitting there holding her mom's hand and watching kind of impassively about this. And then I'll tell you what the text says at the end of this commercial. This is cut. I didn't put a number. Six.
I'm Dan McCready, and I approve this message.
God instructs all Christian wives to submit to their husbands. The title given to a woman is helper. If I were to define the word helper for you today, I would define it as the servant lover.
And then the tagline is this what we want our daughters to hear?
Very effective ad against him, I think, against Pastor Harris.
In other words, it will be effective.
Yes, yes.
It'll change.
The problem that we face as Christians, and that's just my opinion, maybe, the problem that we face as Christians in this country, especially in today's era with so much biblical illiteracy out there, even in the church, is that a lot of what we believe requires context and study and understanding. I mean, that's why we go to church every Sunday, right?
To
be fed the Word of God so that we can learn and grow. And all of us here in this room continue to do so, and we've been in the faith a long time. But there are still things we scratch our head or we don't understand or if we hear, we need some context, right?
Right.
I mean, how many pastors have I heard say and teachers say, you know, if you're going to read a verse, read the one before it and after it, at least, so you can have some context. So the world, if you will, who hates Christians anyway, and they hate God, some of them might hear that, and they say what he said, wives, submit to your husbands, right?
Right.
That's what the teaching is on, which is scriptural.
Right.
Is that scriptural?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. But what they do is take that out. They don't give his sermon where he talks about husbands love your wives as Christ loved the church, right?
Or submit one to another, which is the very first statement it makes.
So they don't play that.
Right.
They don't even want to hear that or understand that. They take that and they'll say, see, this is as a misogyny. This man is promoting male dominance over women. Listen to him.
Right.
Listen to him. He's saying, wives, submit to your husband, barefoot and pregnant. We're past that era.
Right.
We're
caveman.
We're in a caveman. This is how they treat women in other parts of the world, but not in America.
Right.
You see how this works?
Yes.
That's very effective. To me, it's very effective because you can use that with people who are ignorant of what the Bible actually teaches. Now, you may hear what the Bible actually teaches, and you still may say, I disagree with it. But in this point, in this case, they can take, and there's probably a lot of things that the pastor's taught that they're saving, or they've been using against him in this respect. Walker, you wanted to comment on this?
Yeah. I don't think, I think people who, in that, since it's a congressional district race, I think that people who know Mark Harris, Pastor Mark Harris, that ad's probably not going to change their mind.
Okay.
But you may have some independents or some Democrats who this may be embolden them to vote against Mark Harris or something. But I agree. The problem here is that you have not just the world who doesn't understand Scripture. I mean, you can expect that. But you have many of people in the church, whether they be, you know, believers who attend church or people who aren't believers and still attend church as part of tradition, but they don't understand context, and they pull one verse out and they throw it out there and they didn't read the whole chapter.
Right.
Matter of fact, they didn't even read the verse before and the verse after. But I would argue, if you want to understand context, at a minimum, you need to read the chapter, and it would be even better if you read the whole book. And so, but we're a soundbite society. Take out, you know, a 20-second clip of his sermon, and then you try to paint that.
The saving grace of this is that it was run in North Carolina, fairly close to the home of Billy Graham. So I think a lot of people understand that this was something pulled out of context. We talked yesterday, I think, about Louis Farrakhan, who was in a video, live video conference with students from the University of Tehran, law students in Iran. And this is bite is a minute long, so please bear with me because I'll have to explain a little bit about what he said at the end. But as you're listening to this, I would wish we kind of had Abraham in here, because I'd love to know what the definition of sedition and treason is. Listen to what Louis Farrakhan, speaking in the United States to Iran, said.
I am coming to you from the United States of America. Why is Iran suffering so much, particularly from the United States of America? Is it not true that you have called America the great Satan? Well, if you believe what you say, then would not Satan be actively involved in trying to destroy a nation that is set up on the belief and practice of submission to the will of God? All that your elders have sacrificed will mean nothing if you do not pick up the revolution and carry it forward. Malkbar.
Yes, sir.
Malkbar.
Yes.
Malkbar America is death to America. That's what he was saying at the end. He was leading the chant of death to America.
Here's where Farrakhan's statements might lead to treason, where he says, pick up the revolution.
Right.
Which revolution are you talking about? You talking about where the Iranian leaders want to bomb Israel and bomb the U.S. and wipe us off the face of the earth. Is that the revolution you're talking about picking up?
He was talking, this is on the anniversary of the revolution in Tehran that overthrew the Shah and brought in the Islamic...
79.
In 1979. And he was talking specifically about, when he was talking about the great Satan, he was talking about the reimposition of tariffs against Iran by President Trump. So he was, but he was definitely calling for, well, death to America and siding with the Islamic Revolution.
So I'm wondering now, tongue in cheek, if Louis Farrakhan's Twitter and Facebook page will be removed because of his hateful rhetoric.
Until he says the words, Jesus is Lord, he won't have Facebook and Twitter won't
ago,
keep him.
A couple of weeks ago, he said Jews were termites.
Yeah. Yes, was using a Nazi phrase.
Was he shut down from that?
No, it was not.
Mm. No,
so I say tongue in cheek.
All right. Death to America, and you're sitting in the U.S. chanting this?
Yep.
You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Go ahead.
Let's end with a couple of things that are not political. I want to tell you an amazing story of what they're calling a miracle, a freakish miracle, in fact, they're calling it, down in New Zealand.
You can have an unfreakish miracle.
Maybe, I don't know. This is a fisherman in New Zealand called Gus Hutt, who was fishing in the beach near a park in the Bay of Plenty region of North Island. If you're familiar with New Zealand, you may know where that is. I do not.
I don't know.
He was there. So he was fishing, and he saw what looked like a doll in the ocean. He pulled it out. He says his face looked like porcelain, his short hair wetted down, but then he let out a little squeak, and I thought, this baby's alive. And then he was floating at a steady pace with rip current in the water. If I had been there or had been just a minute later, I wouldn't have seen him. So it takes this baby, takes it back to the vacation park, takes it to the manager. The manager says there's only one couple here with a baby. And so he goes over. He directed them to the visitors. The fisherman said she ran to the tent and just shook it and said, "Where's your baby? We just pulled him from the sea." The baby's name is Malachi. The mother says, "I don't think my heart beat from hearing that. I don't think my heart has even started working yet." He's unzipped the tent, crawled out the tent.
A baby?
18 months old. Got under the tent, crawled out from the tent down to the ocean while the parents were sleeping and got pulled out to sea. And it just was because this fisherman was there and caught him that he was returned to his parents alive.
That is freakish, but that is that's miraculous,
isn't it?
Know where your kids are.
Yeah,
that's a lesson.
And then the final story here. This is for you, Tim. You ever take your mom golfing with you?
Never.
Well, now after hearing this story, you might want to.
All right, go ahead.
Not do that, Doris Chen. Is an NCAA championship golfer who was trying to qualify for the LPGA. She was playing in Pinehurst, New Jersey, near her home. She shot an errant tee shot. Her mom apparently didn't like the shot, picked up the golf ball, moved back into the fairway. Well, when...
Yeah.
Stop helping, Mom.
That may work when you're seven, but Mom can't help you. In a golf match like that. But
so now the golfer knew that her mother had done that?
Yeah, I thought that this morning, but then I read, I have to firmly clarify that my caddy, the volunteer, nor I at the time were searching for the ball or saw anything suspicious. I saw the ball, I hit it.
Come here, honey.
But she was disqualified, though.
She was, because the ball was moved.
You can't do that.
Come
here, honey. Let me move this ball for you. Now you hit it. You hit it straight.
Hit it hard now.
Yeah.
You can do it.
You do it for mommy. Come on. All right. I don't know if that young lady will live that down. Every time she goes into a match.
Not on this show, she will.
Every time she goes for a match now, the other competitors will be going, "Is your mommy here? Where's mommy?" All right. We will be back in, 7.5 hours?
7.5.
That's right.
Election night
coverage. Our team here will be back at 7 o'clock Central Time tonight for our coverage. So we'll see you then.